member.html, and his introductory history of Venona. www.theblackvault.com/documents/NSA/Venona/monographs/monographs-1.html, as well as the agency's untitled official history of Venona, declassified in 2004 and available on its website. There is a specific Meredith Gardner page on the NSA website that was established after his induction into the agency's Hall of Honor in 2004, and its Cryptological Almanac 50th Anniversary Series includes Polyglot, the Meredith Gardner Story, unclassified in 2011, and this too is available on the website, www.nsa.gov. Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan included some perceptive remarks about Meredith in the Congressional Record on July 12, 1999. Congressional Record, Washington, D.C., U.S. Senate and Government Printing Office. The obituary by David Stout that appeared in the New York Times on August 18, 2002, is an absorbing account of a life well lived. Meredith Gardner, 89, dies. Broke code in Rosenberg case. As is his wife's in the Washington Post on September 3, 2005. And one of the most revelatory articles on the Gardners was published in the University of Wisconsin Alumni Magazine. Candace Gaukel Andrews, The Codebreaker and the G-Man, on Wisconsin, Winter 2002. I was able to recreate the tradecraft as well as the personal history of Sasha, the Soviet handler who worked out of the New York KGB station, in large part due to his chatty, albeit often self-serving, memoir. Alexander Feklisov, The Man Behind the Rosenbergs, New York, Enigma Books, 2001. I was further assisted in telling the Moscow Center side of this story by the extensive top-secret material Vasily Mitrokhin smuggled out of the KGB Foreign Intelligence Archives, Christopher Andrew and Vasily Mitrokhin, The Sword and the Shield, The Mitrokhin Archives and the KGB, New York, Basic Books, 2001. Also valuable were the 8 thick notebooks and loose pages kept by Alexander Vasilyev, as he researched through KGB archival material, indexed and cross-referenced by the Wilson Center under the direction of John Earl Haynes, and available on the Internet through the Cold War International History Project. Additionally, I made much use of Alexander Weinstein and Alexander Vasilyev, The Haunted Wood, New York, Modern Library, 1999, John Earl Haynes, Harvey Clare, and Alexander Vasilyev, Spies, The Rise and Fall of the KGB in America, New Haven, Yale University Press, 2009, and Christopher Andrew and Oleg Gordievsky, KGB, The Inside Story of Its Operations from Lenin to Gorbachev, New York, HarperCollins, 1992. The extent of the Soviet penetration of the Manhattan Project was well documented in the formerly classified papers supplied by the KGB to the Russian Institute for History of Science and Technology and published by the Institute in its journal. V. P. Vizgin, editor, At the Source of the Soviet Atomic Project, The Role of Espionage, 1941 through 1946, in Problems in the History of Science and Technology, 1992. And I found the most authoritative as well as comprehensive history of the Soviet efforts to build an atomic weapon to be David Holloway, Stalin and the Bomb, New Haven, Yale University Press, 1994. As for the depiction of the spies in this story, who worked with their Russian handlers, there is a small library of books that helped inform my portraits. Writing about the Rosenberg case, for example, is a cottage industry for dueling historians. However, I found myself most frequently returning to Sam Roberts's elegantly written and carefully researched The Brother, New York, Random House, 2001, and Ronald Radosh and Joyce Milton's definitive The Rosenberg File, New Haven, Yale University Press, 1997. Ted Hall's story is told with verve in a groundbreaking investigative account by Joseph Albright and Marcia Kunstel, Bombshell, The Secret Story of America's Unknown Atomic Spy Conspiracy. New York, Times Books, 1997. Their book also offers a very readable analysis of encoding and code-breaking techniques that greatly influenced my discussions of those topics. As for Klaus Fuchs, I found his story best told in H. Montgomery Hyde, The Atomic Spies, New York, Athenaeum, 1989, which also helped to shape my understanding of the Guzenko defection. Robert Chadwell Williams, Carl Fuchs, Atomic Spy, Cambridge, Mass., Harvard University Press, 1987, and Mike Rossiter, The Spy Who Changed the World, London, Headline, 2015. Elizabeth Bentley gives a fascinating, if dubious, account of her life in Out of Bondage, New York, Ballantine Books, 1951, while more objective histories are Catherine S. Olmsted, Red Spy Queen, A Biography of Elizabeth Bentley, Chapel Hill, University of North Carolina Press, 2002, and Lauren Kessler, Clever Girl, Elizabeth Bentley, The Spy Who Ushered in the McCarthy Era, New York, Harper Perennial, 2003. A good overview of the KGB's activities can be found in Catherine A. S. Sibley, Red Spies in America, Stolen Secrets and the Dawn of the Cold War, Lawrence, University Press of Kansas, 2004. The telling of this story, however, would not have been possible without the declassification of the approximately 2,900 Venona translations, starting in 1995. These cables, as well as perceptive explanatory monographs by Robert Louis Benson, are available on the NSA's official Venona site, www.nsa.gov/news-features/declassified-documents/venona/index.shtml. Meredith Gardner's special reports are also available at this site. Further, Mercyhurst College's Institute for Intelligence Studies has facilitated analysis of these cables by turning them into fully searchable Microsoft Word documents, available online, www.wilsoncenter.org. The CIA has also issued a cogent summary of the key Venona cables, Selected Venona Messages, www.cia.gov/library/center-4-the-study-of-intelligence. The story of how these cables came to be declassified is told in Daniel Patrick Moynihan's Report of the Commission on Protecting and Reducing Government Secrecy, Appendix A, The Experience of the Bomb, available through the U.S. Government Printing Office, 1997. There have also been numerous books written on the Venona decrypts and what they reveal. I found the most valuable to be Nigel West's comprehensive Venona, The Greatest Secret of the Cold War, London, HarperCollins, 1999. John Earl Haynes and Harvey Clare, Venona, Decoding Soviet Espionage in America, New Haven, Yale University Press, 2000. Robert L. Benson, The Venona Story, Washington, D.C., CreateSpace Independent Publishing Platform, 2012. And Herbert Romerstein and Eric Brindle, The Venona Secrets, The Definitive Exposé of Soviet Espionage in America, Washington, D.C., Regnery History, 2014. A basic comprehension of code writing was necessary to understand the accomplishments of Meredith Gardner and the other code breakers working at Arlington Hall. In addition to the numerous NSA documents available online at the agency's website, many of which I have cited above, my admittedly rudimentary knowledge was informed by David Kahn's exhaustive and definitive The Codebreakers, New York, Scribner, 1996, Stephen Budiansky, Battle of Wits, The Complete Story of Codebreaking in World War II, New York, Free Press, 2002, Catherine L. Swift, How the Germans Broke a U.S. Code, Declassified by the NSA in 2012, and available online at the NSA website, and Francis Letario, Why Are One-Time Pads Perfectly Secure, found at web.archive.org. Also, the writing of this book was greatly influenced by the discussions I had with former members of the intelligence community, several of whom knew Meredith Gardner and were also directly aware of the singular importance of Bob Lamphere's contributions. They spoke to me in off-the-record conversations, and their identities remain protected by this agreement. Further, there was another source that, however obliquely, served as a constant influence as I wrote this story. The critic Leslie Fiedler has written with an iconoclastic insight into the fictional characters whose unlikely yet deep friendships have become cornerstones of American literature. This espionage story of two real-life heroes whose bond was defined and yet also reinforced by their differences owes a narrative debt to Fiedler's entertaining and perceptive body of work. A final thought. When I began work on this book, my narrative ambitions were to share a spy drama, a tale of friendship, courage, genius, and regret. Yet as I researched and wrote the book during the presidential election campaign of 2016 and well into the first year of the new presidency, this Cold War history took on an unexpected resonance and a chilling prescience. The past, as Faulkner warned, is never dead. It is not even past. This is David Colaci. We hope that you've enjoyed this production of In the Enemy's House, The Secret Saga of the FBI Agent and the Codebreaker Who Caught the Russian Spies, by Howard Bloom. Produced by Elgin Productions. Executive Producer, Katie Ostroka. Text copyright 2018 by Howard Bloom. Production copyright 2018 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.